Welcome to Raptor Football Weekly. This is our fifth episode for season three. We want to thank our sponsor, Custom One, for their support of the Raptor football program and the use of the equipment. I'm here with Scott Holdeman and Coach Fritzy. And with that, I'll kick it over to you, Scott.
Thanks, Chad. Welcome back, folks. Another edition of Raptor Football Weekly with head coach Dan Fritzy. I'm your host, Scott Holdeman. Everybody can exhale. The Raptors came away with a big victory against Woodbury Royals in a game that was 10-7 at half, 17-7 in the third quarter. Dan, you didn't score until 8 minutes, 50 seconds left in the second quarter. The final score was a whopping 54-7.
Yeah.
I want to run through some stats here real quick. Cedric Tomes, big game, 15 for 18, 200 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. He also rushed for 50 yards and had 1 touchdown. Kyle Frant really doing everything for you right now. He's running the ball, catching the ball, 75 yards rushing, 1 touchdown, 55 yards receiving with a touchdown. Defensively, Jack Wernerberg coming up huge with 2 interceptions. James Martin with 1 interception as well. Coach, congratulations on the win.
Appreciate it.
Not too often you can actually witness the floodgates open in the second half there. 20 yards passing, 20 yards rushing. Couldn't really ask for more there, huh?
Yeah, I mean, that's our ideal offense. I know I was asked, you know, are you looking for a balance in terms of how often you – run the ball versus how often you throw it, or is it yards? And it is yards. Or, you know, 200 and 200 is really ideal for us. And we're gonna be a little more on the run side and the pass side, and then we're going to try to get some chunks in our pass game, and that's what we're able to do off of our play action.
Yeah, you know, and every team's different. Every year's different. In years past, you've had games where, you know, we've been sitting here at the podcast, like, Dan, you threw it 40 times that game.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And didn't run the ball, but, you know, came away with the win. This isn't really a team where you're going to be throwing 40 times a game.
No, and that's just how our program is. And we have to tailor things to who we have. Mm-hmm. Our offense has a core set of plays, formations, and whatnot, but we have to figure out what our kids are good at and then do what they're good at. And I'm just a firm believer that I don't want to ask kids what they can't do, but sometimes it takes me a little bit to figure out what each kid can and cannot do, or each kid is good at, what they excel at. And it has taken a little bit of time, but we've come to find out that this is our identity, and it's important to establish an identity. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the game that solidified it for us.
Yeah, I mean, to me, 200 yards rushing in a high school football game is really showing your dominance at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, it was really our O-line, tight ends, and fullbacks that paved the way for us. And they really did a good job just keeping their bodies on the defenders and creating seams in our outside zone, which is our top run play in that game.
Yeah, and, you know, in years past, when you had Tanner, he was somebody who was really, I think, improvising a lot and able to do that. I mean, Cedric is really good in the play action, and it maybe needs a little more structure there.
Yeah, it was an adjustment for me to go from Tanner, who could change the play at the line of scrimmage. He had all that freedom. We could throw it 50 times or we could run it 50 times. It didn't really matter with him. But with Cedric, I do need to be more intentional in what we're doing. I need to limit how much he has to think pre-snap, not that he can't, but we're just trying to limit what he needs to handle. And then going back to, you know, what are kids good at, you know, he's really good at moving around. He's good at play action and getting out of the pocket. And that's what we try to get him in, and he did a great job with it.
Well, he's got a wonderful fake, and he really sells it, and he gets good depth on his play action without really getting in trouble.
He does, and the whole key for him is the ball handling.
Yeah.
And we always talk about your fake will set you free. And when they rush their fakes, our QBs, when they rush their fakes, the end doesn't bite, and we get hit. But to make the run look exactly like the pass has been something we've been working all year, and it's harder than you'd think it is. And he's kind of really perfected his fake. He tweaked it maybe 3 or 4 times this year, and he finally said, Coach, I think I got it going into this week. And it looked great, and so we added a couple of boots that we hadn't done yet, and he did a great job with it.
And there's really an art to the play calling, too, because, I mean, a good play action is based on good run game, but you got to keep the defense on their heels when you're calling that play action.
The whole thing for us, we kept talking as a staff, is to don't get stuck running the ball all the time. We knew we were getting yards on the run, But we wanted to play action before we had to, if that makes sense. You know, and a perfect example of that is we came out first play, second half, and go, let's just run the ball.
Yeah.
And let's just run it down. We run the ball, and we thought about it for a second, and no, you know what, let's play action on first and 10, because they're going to be selling out, and this is the perfect time to do it. And I think we had a couple real good play actions with the fullback and the flat in that series. I know we hit Kyle on the first one, but it's really just anticipating that play action before they're ready for it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you just had some wide open routes there too.
Yeah,
they were selling out.
Yeah, you know, one thing you may have noticed is we played more with the fullback in the game.
Yeah, for sure.
And it gives us a little bit more flexibility on the direction that we can run. And then when we're running the fullback in opposite directions of the run play, and then he runs opposite direction, and you hit him in the flat, and then he runs the same direction, hit him in the flat. It's really kind of, you look at like a spoke when a player is lined up, whether it's a fullback or a lineman or a defensive player, and he can go different directions and do different things. It really gives us a lot of flexibility and makes the defense have a hard time tracking them. And that's what we were able to get open in the game.
Yeah.
It felt like a Kyle Juszczyk type of
Yeah, exactly. And that is exactly who we try to emulate, is the Juszczyk from the 49ers. We watch tape on them, and you know, he's special because he can be a wide receiver, and Kyle acts like him a little bit, but he's the exact player that we try to emulate.
Yeah, so you know, they score first in this game.
Yeah.
With about 3 minutes left in the first quarter on a big play.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're technically the home team in this game. They got fans, the crowd's going crazy, I'm sure. Yeah. You know, this is certainly a point where, you know, a team can clam up, right?
Yeah.
What was the attitude?
Especially since we had given them the ball back and we didn't execute on a fourth down, and I messed that up, you know, and to give them that opening after our defense had forced an early punt was frustrating, but they have a really good receiver who's dangerous, and we talked all week about keeping him in front of us, but it's easier to do that in practice, and he's just a good player, made a good play, and we have to rebound from that. But the reality is it's tough when you feel that crowd and you're down to your rivals 7-0, and then you try to respond and you answer with a field goal, which is great. But now you're still down a touchdown.
Right.
And they have the ball, and it's a nerve-wracking feeling to know that if they score, they're going to be up two scores, and we could be going to halftime against your rival down two scores. And those things creep in your mind, and fortunately, our defense was able to get a stop and get the ball right back.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you're coming off a couple of losses, too.
Oh,
I mean,
for sure.
Yeah,
and with that, kids think about that, right?
Sure,
it's kind of one of those things where, oh, this is going the same way as the game that we lost. Mm-hmm. I promise you, kids think that in their minds. It creeps in for a second. You just got to fight against it. And we talk about it all the time, but it's human nature.
Yeah, I mean, so you didn't notice at the time, but they didn't score again. And that, you know, the last touchdown drive that you had right before the half, really long drive, a lot of plays, just really rammed it down there. Really a tone setter for the rest of the game.
That was a huge drive for our season, not only for the game.
Yeah.
To be down 7-3, to get the stop, and to answer, I think we converted a fourth down. It's a testament to our kids that they didn't flinch and they're able to execute and punch that in.
Yeah. And really defensively, only give up the one touchdown, pitch a shutout for the rest of that game. The thing that I noticed from watching the tape was they just seemed like they knew where to be.
Yeah.
You know, and they seemed more comfortable in the sets, and especially on some of the interceptions, you had 2-3 defenders that were right there that could have made that play.
I think the difference was, and I talk to our D coordinator every day, going into that week, it was, let's get back to the basics and worry about us. I think we got a little caught up, and it was probably my fault, of maybe checking too much against what the offense was doing, and said, you know, we're going to turn into the aggressors. We're just going to call our plays. We don't care what they're in. We're going to get lined up and we're going to attack.
Yeah.
And it was a little more of attack mode instead of reacting to them. And I think our kids flourished in that.
Yeah, I mean, second half, I mean, you really just poured it on. Everything was working.
Yeah.
Everything was working offensively. Everything was working defensively. You know, Woodbury is a pretty good defense, too.
I mean,
they played very good games this year.
Yeah.
It's got to be a fun feeling, though, huh?
It's can't say anything other than, it's fun. I mean, the energy in the stadium was absolutely incredible. I've been on the other side of that, and it's not fun. It can really, the momentum can really snowball on you, and it's the weight is heavy, And when you're causing turnovers in the other team's zone and putting your offense, I mean, I think we got the ball inside the 5 once, around the 20 once, our defense score. I mean, and then when you're scoring that quickly back to back and the crowd's going nuts, it's really hard for the other team to recover. But at the same time, I think, you know, when the score is 24-7 or whatever it is, I mean, I've been in many games in which teams have come back from that. 30-7. I mean, we've come back from that. I mean, so I'm just trying to implore our kids. We cannot let up, and they didn't, and that was really fun to see.
You know, I didn't actually get to go to the game. I was watching, or I was following it online, and you know, I was talking with my wife about the game. You know, it's like, hey, 17-7 is a game. All of a sudden, the next thing I turned 54-7. Yeah. You know, I mean, it really got a hand there.
It was fast. And the thing that I noticed is that our kids were playing with so much joy and freedom, and there's no, I mean, it helps when you're making those plays, but to go to our kids, it's like, if you could play like that all the time with that freedom, that freedom without that fear of failure, think how good you can be. And so we'll see if they can match that.
Coach, what was it like being at TCO, playing against Woodbury? We haven't had that many people in there. How did it feel versus the past 2 years we've been down there?
It was beyond my expectations. It was way different than the other two games. To have it pretty much packed on both sides, it was loud. I mean, we had issues communicating. It was so loud. But a huge difference when you have that many people, there's no track. So the fans are a lot closer to you, and you feel it a lot more. The stadiums without tracks, it actually is a really big difference, and it's fun. You feel it right on top of you. You feel them, the crowd, the buzz. And even at the beginning of the game, they're singing the anthem, and there's a plane flying over, and it felt like it was a flyover for us. It's so cool there. Our kids love it, and you have the big Jumbotron, and the locker rooms are right there, and it just feels different. You know, I tell those guys, you know, it's our home away from home, and we're going to treat it like that. And our kids absolutely embraced it and loved it.
So how was this team at halftime? I mean, you were up and you had the good drive, but it's still, you know, a pretty close game. I mean, how was that halftime vibe?
It felt like all the other halftimes, which was, we are in a fight.
Yeah.
We're in a battle, and it's going to come down to the end of the game. And we're going to see if we can stick with this thing, and it's 0-0, and it just felt like one of those games. And there's no way we could have ever thought that it would snowball into 54-7.
Yeah, you talk about, you know, an earlier podcast, you know, when you come off of a win versus a loss, sometimes you say it's harder to get the kids, you know, kind of back and situated for the week after win. How about a win like that?
Oh my gosh, that was the only thing I could think about the next day, and when we had our team meeting in the next morning, it was. The history of us beating Woodbury in the last few years is laying an egg the next game.
Right.
And we went over the specifics of it. We went over what happens. And I even told a story about myself. And, you know, I my junior year, I had the best game ever against our big rival. And then we played our other rival, the Eastview Lightning, led by Scott Haldeman. I was still the middle of the week preparing for Eastview, and I was still reading the newspaper articles of the last game, and I told him that personal story, and I played a terrible game, and we lost the game. And this team has the chance to learn from those mistakes, from myself and from our teams in the past, that we can't. Here's the problem. You walk around school, and the teachers, the admin, and the students are still talking about the game. Well, what a 54-7 go. Oh, what a great game. How was season? Even today, they're still talking about it, and we just have to get our kids to ignore that. We're playing a really good team coming up, and we got to be ready to go.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, that's exactly right. White Bear Lake comes into town Friday. I mean, they're 0-4, but they started the season against two tough opponents. Minnetonka is a tough out-of-conference opponent. Mounds used to having a good year this year.
Yeah.
They had one slip away with a weird fumble on the punt against Woodbury.
Yeah.
They played Forest Lake very tough.
Yeah.
You know, what are the keys to this game?
They had arguably two games in which they could or should have won the game against Forest Lake and Woodbury. When you look at the Minnetonka game, it's the first game of the year. They play them really tough, especially at the beginning.
That was that rain week, too.
And then they made a ton of personnel changes after that game. So not even the same team. And Minnetonka still struggled against them. Mm-hmm. So And I'm pretty sure statistically they're the leading offense in the conference.
Yeah.
And they have a massive O-line, an extremely athletic QB. They have two really dangerous, speedy receivers. They have good players on every level on defense. And I just try to tell the kids, historically, high school kids, you know, whatever word I use, you know, are unintelligent about how they view teams and their records.
Yeah.
Right? We just can't be one of those unintelligent high school teams that, oh, they're 0-4. Oh, we don't have to worry about this one. And poor kids, and in 6A, anything can happen. And this team is not a normal 4 team, regardless of 6A or whatever. They're a good team who easily is good enough to come in here and beat us. They just are. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
And if we don't play well, we're going to get beat. And how do we play that? We got to practice hard during the week. And they responded so far, but we'll see.
Hey, do you think that your run in the playoffs last year with the team that you were, does it help that mentality of this team this year in games like this?
We brought it up. It should. Yeah. I don't know if it does. You know, it obviously should, especially how many kids were on that team last year.
Yeah.
That those teams, I know, at least to some degree, overlooked us because of our record, of our seed.
For sure.
Which is just silly. It's just so silly that can happen. And you allow that to give yourself a worse chance to win the game. It doesn't make any sense as a competitor.
Yeah. So I really like this white bear quarterback, Animas.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's got an incredibly strong arm.
Yeah.
He's got some touch, and he can really give a defense fits.
They put him in last year, I think right before they played us or during our game. Super athletic, strong arm. They make really big plays in the pass game, and they just ground and pound the run game and kind of make you choose between the two. He's dangerous, and he scares the heck out of me. So we just got to try to bottle him up the best we can.
Yeah, probably. I mean, one of the biggest arms in the conference.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you combine that with his legs, and that's scary.
So we've got 4 weeks now into this new defense, and you know, is it getting easier for the team to install week to week?
Oh yeah, yeah, and kind of going back to when we talk about Coach Capo, he has themes for the week, and you know, last week, this week, one of his themes is back to the basics, and then we install all this stuff. We know what we're doing. Now we can focus on the detail of what we're doing. And I think it's kind of taken us until now to actually get to that point. Guys know where they're going. Now can you have the proper technique and make the proper reads when you're going there?
What do you, I mean, 4 weeks in, how do you like this team? I mean, you've had some ups and downs and some real kind of emotional things on either side of that coin. I mean, where do you see this team right now?
You know, I've been telling our team for a while now, I love this team. They have a lot of potential, but they're far from it. They're not there yet, and they need to challenge themselves to try to reach that potential and can actually see it, right? I mean, trying to get your kids to believe that they have another level in them in terms of how hard they practice, in terms of how much they study, in terms of what they're doing on a day-to-day basis as a person and as a player. We're trying to be great as people and as players.
Yeah.
And most kids don't really know where that is. And they certainly don't know where it is as a team. And I tell the guys every single year, I will watch every single team in 6A, just a little bit. And I will come back and tell you if there's a team that is unbeatable. And sometimes there is. Sometimes there's just that team that no one's going to beat them. You know, 2019 YZ. No one's stopping that offense, right? So I went back to him, guys, that team doesn't exist. There are a lot of good teams, and there are teams probably better than us. But there's no team that's unbeatable. So it's about how good can you get this team to be? Can we get to a point where we're great? We're not there yet, but we have the makings of possibly getting there. But it's to be determined.
It's an interesting conference too. I mean, you've got a lot, and we haven't seen all the teams yet. But I mean, it just seems, you know, Stillwater's at the top right now. They obviously have a very good team.
Yeah.
But again, like, you know, a beatable team.
Yeah.
And the rest of the conference, I mean, everybody's pretty similar in there.
Yeah, I think Stillwater is the clear favorite in the conference, especially with the talent and their size. The teams that they have left are going to challenge them, and they're very aware of that.
Yep.
And every other team in the conference, I think, looks at each other and like, well, it's a coin flip whether or not we're going to win or lose this week, based on how we play, based on how the game goes. That's fun. That's a really fun situation to be in when your games are all like that, and we love it.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week, Coach. Thanks for your time. Good
Appreciate
luck
it.
On Friday. We're filming, or filming. We are recording this one day early, so we should get this out a little earlier this week. Thanks again to Custom One Homes for use of the equipment. And I want to say, you know, last episode, I was listening to my wife. She's like, God, Dan's got such a great podcast voice. Like, you know, you, on the other hand, thin, nasally,
not just, true.
You know. No, you tell Heidi. Thank you.
Yeah,
appreciate
well,
it.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you at the game.
You. Baby, could you? I got chips.